Here is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And joining us, Fast Eddie?
And we've got Danny Sims from our friends at the Friendly Aviation Agency. And we're going to talk about something that scares the heck out of pretty much every pilot out there. We're talking about icing.
Oh, like frosting your beer mug?
No. Everybody loves a frosted beer mug. But when your wings get frosted.
Oh.
Yeah, that's bad news. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Really?
I am. You know, exactly. You know, lots of times we get a bad rap and stuff. But, you know, we come out here and we let people know what we're doing, especially with aviation weather research. And I just can't tell you how many times our customers, the pilots and others, say, we appreciate what you're doing. Keep it up. And that's just so, it really is satisfying.
That is good. We're talking about icing now. Traditionally, we've always thought icing, clouds, only time. And we're finding out now that is not the case.
Well, we're starting to get reports of people who say, I'm not in the clouds, and I got icing coming up. And the first time I heard about that, it was a flight out in California. They talked about it, and I'm just like, that just can't be. And, you know, there must be some other explanation. But I was talking to a pilot earlier this week who experienced the same type of thing. And so we're in a situation most likely, and this is something we'll have to investigate further, but most likely you're very, very close to saturation, but just not close enough. And of course, the aerodynamic effects of the aircraft influence things, and it, maybe that's what it's doing, is it's just pushing it over just enough to cool it so that you do get that condensation forming. It's something that it just goes to show we don't have all the answers yet, and we're going to still continue. Our research needs to continue.
Now, the philosophy I was always taught was any icing is bad. So even just a light frosting is bad.
It depends on your aircraft and the capabilities. But, you know, if you're in an aircraft without any type of icing protection at all, yes, you need to deviate from it as quickly as possible, any of it at all. So it's aircraft dependent, and that's what it really comes down to. But that's why we certify to different levels, and that's what we're going to with the FAA.
Yeah, I see you've now identified different classes of icing, if you want to call it that. Your research is also aimed at predicting where icing and when icing will occur?
Exactly. And that's the bulk of our research right now, is that prediction. We've had some products out for quite a few years. We, the FAA, developed them, passed them over to the National Weather Service. They operate and maintain for the prediction of icing. We give the probability. We try to give an indication of an intensity. Those products were coarse as far as the spatial dimension. The technology that we have now, we're able to really fine-tune that. We can get down now to on the order of 2 kilometers, which is 3 kilometers, excuse me, grid spacing, which is just a little bit under 2 miles, which may not or may sound like that's a pretty good distance, especially with a GA aircraft. But compared to where we are, that's very, very fine resolution. And it enables us also to start modeling the actual mechanisms for ice production in the atmosphere. Whereas before, we'd look at temperature, we'd look at relative humidity as an example, and we'd just say, hey, if you're close, if it's below freezing and you're humid, you got a chance for icing. Now we're able to fine-tune that, and that's where we're going.
Okay, and is this real time? In other words, I'm flying, I start getting ice. Can you reliably say, well, if you just deviate to this heading, in 3 miles, you'll be clear?
Unfortunately not. It's a prediction that's looking out in time.
Okay.
We have a product where we take in things to give you a diagnosis. That's only up to date once an hour. So, yeah, unfortunately, we don't have something real time. So it really comes back to the pilot. If you, the first indications you see of ice buildup, you need to do something. Don't wait.
Okay. As a pilot, where would I expect the first occurrence of icing on my aircraft to be? Windscreen, propeller, wing? Where should I be looking?
Yeah, the windscreen's a good one. Any type of appendage that might be on the aircraft itself, whether it's an antenna or anything like that, wipers. You know, the windows are oftentimes a very, very good indication. You may not be able to see your wings themselves, but if you can, that leading edge, very, very important. Those types of things, those sharp surfaces.
Right, where the airflow deviates.
I was in a Bonanza flight one time in February. we were at about 3,000 feet in the clouds, and we started picking up ice on the wing strikes, the little panels. We saw ice there, and also we're picking it up on the windshield. And about the time I saw it, my pilot friend got a hold of ATC and deviated. But that's the first time, and hopefully the only time, I ever get to see airframe icing. It was quite concerning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I guess when you're asking for a deviation, you should say why.
Exactly. Let them know why. I'm picking up icing. What's the best thing? You know, traditionally, it's sometimes you want to go up to get out of it. You get into colder conditions or get out of the clouds, get down into something below the freezing level. So those types of things. But yes, definitely let them know, I'm picking up icing. I want to get out of it.
It says here that you're using radar and satellite technology now to look for areas that are going to be, you know, yeah. Likely. That's the word I couldn't think of.
Exactly. And that's what we're doing. We ran a field program just a couple years ago working with our partners in Canada. And we collected a tremendous amount of data. We've gone back now, and our friends at NOAA have recently, in the past couple of years, released weather satellites that have a lot more capabilities. They're able to see things that we couldn't see before using IR channels, visible channels. And we can take those products and give and differentiate what's going on at the cloud. Is it frozen or is it liquid water? And if it's liquid water, how big are those drops? Because we haven't touched upon it, but the larger the drop, the greater the hazard. So we're bringing that information now in that we didn't have before. And those satellites are very, very fine resolution in the spatial dimension. For radar, and this is weather radar itself, mm-hmm. we were using just a composite picture. Now we're looking at the radar in the vertical itself, giving a more complete structure of the atmosphere. Because if you got precipitation, you got water drops. And then you combine that with your knowledge of where the freezing level is. If you're in an environment where you're below freezing and the radar is telling you you got precipitation drops, i.e., there's an icing threat there.
Okay.
Well, now, another point about icing, are you worried about carburetor icing as well?
We haven't been working on that, but that continues to be a source of impact and of accidents.
Sure.
So we've been focused on the structural icing itself. But that carburetor icing and those impacts can be just as insidious. So again, that's probably areas where future research. But no, we have not been focused on that.
You're just strictly structural icing.
Structural at this point.
You just said something that piqued my interest. You said larger drops are more dangerous. Why is that? Is it because there's just more moisture available?
The larger drops, when they hit upon, say, the leading edge of a wing, mm-hmm. they won't freeze upon impact. They will hit and run back.
Oh.
And so let's say you got boots, pneumatic boots. You activate those boots, they get rid of that buildup on the leading edge. If it hits the wing and runs back and then refreezes, you get a ridge
right.
on the top of your wing. You can't get rid of it with your boot. And that ridge is going to interrupt that aerodynamic flow.
Okay.
That's why the large drops are more of a hazard.
Okay. Is the FAA actively pursuing methods of de-icing airplanes? I know they've got the weeping leading edge. They've got boots. Are there any other options that the FAA is exploring?
I don't know of the options of that. I do know that the FAA is working on the de-icing of aircraft itself. That's another branch that we have that's at our technical center in Atlantic City, New Jersey, that's working on it. I'm aware of what they're doing, but I would just be speculating said in it. But the answer is, yes, we are doing things. I'm not the one that could be able to tell you
right,
about that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, in the vernacular, not my job, man.
Not my job, man. Yeah. Now, I've seen pictures of the FAA trying to simulate airframe icing upstairs. They have an airplane with a sprayer on it, and then there's another airplane that's right smack in the middle of that. That's got to be dicey flying.
Well, that's your certification, oftentimes how that's done. But yeah, dicey
that's
flying.
That's the best way to do it.
It's the best way to do it, exactly. You have to see how the aircraft's going to react.
Do you guys ever try to simulate icing conditions in, say, a wind tunnel?
Yes. Yes, that happens also.
Mm-hmm. That's less expensive.
And
a little bit safer.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say a lot safer.
Yep, yep. About on average, and I don't even know if this is your purview, how many icing incidents, significant icing incidents per year are there?
So, the NTSB provides us that information. It's very good. We've got, we tend to have maybe not a lot, maybe half a dozen a year. But the fatalities are holding constant, 4 to 5 fatalities a year,
okay,
due to structural in-flight icing. And, you know, no, any fatality is just not acceptable.
Right. So icing bad, do something about it.
Yeah.
Call somebody, get a deviation, get out of that area.
Exactly.
Turn around.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
something.
Yes.
Do something. Don't
right.
wait.
Then don't assume it's going to go away.
Yeah. It's not going away.
Yeah.
If you see it, do something.
Okay. Very good to remember. And it can affect practically any aircraft. I mean, obviously, any speed ranges don't really make a difference.
Well, yeah, it actually does. The slower you're moving, the longer you're going to be in those conditions. So that's where speed comes into effect. And it is very aircraft independent. But if you're in it, the best thing is to get out of it.
Right. And let somebody know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Danny Sims from the FAA about icing. I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, all iced up at EAA Radio.
Oh.